I should really think of like starting another intro. Like we gotta do another theme song. You gotta bring the beat back.
Don't even like that beat.
Of course you don't, because you don't like
That's not
anything.
true. I love This Is Kairos. Every moment of it.
But that's your Beatty McBeat maker.
Hey.
Those are your air drums.
Nah.
That's all of that. Did you get your shirt yet?
No, I didn't.
It's interesting. Was that supposed to be today?
It's supposed to
To
be.
tomorrow, by tomorrow at the latest, right?
I think so. Uh-oh. Teespring's gonna make a liar out of me.
Man. Well, I haven't checked my mail since Thursday, so.
Yeah, I didn't check it. I didn't get a chance to check it today, but it wasn't there Saturday, so.
Okay. Well, I'll look after the show and see what it is. But anyway,
All
hey
right.
guys. Welcome to Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. Follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, ArmondWakeUp, all one word. Clock Radio Speakers is powered by the good folks at Tumblr. Follow us there. Share our episodes there. We're also powered by SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/clockradiospeakers. Follow us there. We are also on iTunes. Follow us there. Rate and comment. Also, if you comment on SoundCloud, we do see those and we will respond to those accordingly. What else we got going on, Doc? What else do we have? Why do we always forget this spiel every week,
Did you
dog?
get Facebook?
Facebook.com/clockradiospeakers. Official Twitter handle is at CRS Podcast. We are also on MySpace,
We are
myspace.com/clockradiospeakers.
not on MySpace.
What else? We need to be on there. Nobody's on MySpace. We should just take that over. Industry shady and need to be taken over.
We could just drop, 15 podcasts in the middle of the night all at once. Shut the internet down.
Shut it down, son. Burr, 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 burr. Speaking of shutting
That's supposed to be an air horn for all of you who aren't diehard Clock Radio Speakers fans.
I know it sounds like Blue from Blue's Clues barking, but the intent of that is like if you're a parent, you're going to be like, yeah. If you're a parent or you're like an uncle or an aunt, yeah, you're going to hear the Blue's Clues barking. But if you're a rap head, you're probably going to hear both. You're going to hear Blue with a Jamaican reggae air horn, which would be amazing.
So what's going on, everybody? This is Doc. You can follow me on Twitter at Doc_Beats, S not a Z. Every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., Armand goes on. He does a little radio show, plays whatever he likes, basically, right?
Yep.
I'm guessing you're gonna be playing some Beyonce this week.
Should I do a whole beat? I probably should do a Beyonce. That's cool because then that lets me play some of those unreleased Beyonce Neptune's records that came out after Dangerously in Love. So yeah, I'll do all Beyonce this week.
And where can the good people who listen to this show find you online on the radio?
It will be at thepulse-radio.com. Also, if you want to listen from your smartphone, download an app called TuneIn and then search Pulse 2K13. There you go.
There you go. What's funny is, you were talking about how we always forget stuff for the intro. This is a show where I will listen to like seven awful mixtapes and take track by track notes, but we somehow don't have a script that we follow when we open the. I don't understand us at all.
I think that's the beauty of Clock Radio Speakers. As meticulous as we can be sometimes, we're very off the cuff. Look at that. Duality. Boom.
Just like a rapper, trying to put deep meaning where there's no deep meaning.
What was I gonna say? I was gonna say something about I don't know. I don't remember.
We
It'll come.
should tell the good people listening that they if they haven't already heard, they need to go and listen to our most with DJ Hyphen. It was a great
Yeah.
episode. I appreciate
Yes.
Hyphen for getting on Skype with us and
Absolutely.
battling the technical difficulties and all that. And it was a great episode.
Yep.
One of those things
Dropping.
could have gone a little longer, but we had to sort of be like, all right, we're good.
Yeah. We really could have went longer, and you're probably we'll just go ahead and let the cat out the bag. Definitely in 2014, you guys have asked, and we're definitely going to include more guests on the show, just to get some sort of a different perspective on things. Because what Hyphen brought to the table, Doc or I could not have brought his experience. I mean, he works for Disney in the daytime, and then he has a night job with Clear Channel. I mean, like, how crazy is that? So his outlook and his perspective was very, very interesting and very necessary to add on to the Clock Radio Speakers brand. So shout out to DJ Hyphen. And also on top of that, it's Christmas next week, dog. So, you know, we taking, I don't know about you. You can do a Clock Radio Speakers episode, but I'm going home.
I'm going to be up in Vermont. So, you know, I'm going to need the long underwear and the extra layers, and it's going to be cold, man. This is a cold winter already. We're not even in the winter yet.
Yeah. Y'all ninjas better bundle up.
Anyway.
Yo, we got to do it. When we do the This Is Kairos video, we have to do the What We Do freestyle. Remember, like, remember in Fade to Black when Freeway was rapping and they were doing the hand to hand, like left to right with their hands?
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, we got to do that in the video.
Anyway.
Come on, man.
It's all good.
We have to do every single late 90s, early 2000s rap cliche in that video. So we have to wear it, which is basically going to be based off of Puff's Been Around the World remix video. So we have to wear all white.
I mean, that's, I mean, as long as the P90X video looks like a scenario, you know.
What, with like different channels and stuff?
For each rap? Absolutely.
Oh, that video. All right. So what's up, man? What's going down?
You know, we had a little surprise album come out online last week.
Well, we did. Did we?
You know, Beyonce decided, you know, after recording for over a year.
Yep.
Maybe now is time. We've been talking on Clock Radio Speakers, I don't know, the past couple months really about how empty the fourth quarter was.
Yep.
Turns out, not so empty.
Not so empty. The biggest. Is she the biggest artist right now? Like just the biggest artist in music? Is she?
I mean, this album puts her in a bigger place now.
Okay.
We somehow got on this topic when we were talking with Hyphen, but for an artist of her stature, if you don't look at the singles but look at albums, her discography is a little lacking.
Yeah, it's a little light.
And this album serves two purposes, right? It's an event, which is the theme of 2013, right? Event releases, except this took it to the absolute level. A true, well, actually, I don't know if we can count this as a true Black album.
Why not? Because,
well, now they're promoting it. Like a Black album is like, you put it up and then like, you don't even nothing, right? Like nothing. Like, if radio wants to play it, they can play, but you're not sending them anything. You're not doing anything. This was a Black album up until the moment of release, and then the full Beyonce full court press happens.
I guess we got to talk about this, because what has Beyonce done besides release the album? To me, all the promo I've seen have been from people and other entities. You know, an article I read where Songza, I don't even know what Songza is, but they are one of the record labels that pays me. But Songza actually downloaded, they bought the album themselves.
And that's what all the radio stations did too.
Yeah. So,
but they're pushing, like, but they are targeting certain songs for, they've already got, a song picked out for urban radio. They got one picked out for top 40, and they've already got the next top 40 single picked. Mm-hmm. They are putting some videos up on her channel, but you're right. And right now it is mostly word of mouth. But I don't think it's any accident that there's, you know, like her people are clearly making themselves available to like Billboard magazine. Like there's press being done about it. But you're right. I'm guessing nobody's seen a commercial. There's no commercial for this. You know, there's no advertising. But then again, you can't go buy it in the stores right now either. They don't need that right now.
No. Yeah. I can't wait to talk about this. This was a really interesting rollout that posed a lot of great questions. And I think Doc and I are going to answer some of those questions on this episode.
It solves a big problem for an artist like Beyonce.
And what problem is that?
It solved, in a weird way, even though they've picked out, it's funny that they've pre-picked out singles to go to radio, because I don't even know why you would do that, because the radio is playing everything right now. Mm-hmm. Beyonce's problem on her last album was that the first single was a little underwhelming.
What was the first single from Four again? Who run the world, right?
Well, there was that. You're right. And that was a case where there was a lot of hype.
A lot of hype.
And in the end, I don't really know how well that did as a single.
It didn't do that well.
But she had a lot to live up to.
She did. There was a lot of press for Four, right?
because the album before was Single Ladies, and I mean, so this is a case where when you drop the whole thing at once, complete with videos, which is incredible.
Yeah.
Right. And we're not talking. We said this real quick. We said the same line on with episode with Hyphen. And I'll give you all the credit for it because you wanted to talk about it. I snatched it right from you.
You did. You really did.
It's not like 50 Cent with the Massacre style videos. Like, these are real videos.
Yeah.
And
what are those Massacre style videos?
Oh, God. Like CG and, oh, man. I just remember the Piggy Bank video.
Do you remember the G-Unit video game for PS2?
No.
It's called Blood in the Sand.
Oh, now I do. Because I just remember the music. There was like a soundtrack or a mixtape for it.
Well, it had, they put out a mixtape for it. But another thing that they did was they had like all the instrumental. That was the big thing for us rappers, is it had all the instrumentals from Get Rich or Die Trying in some of those G-Unit mixtapes. So it had like G-Unit Anthem. It had for Beg for Mercy. So it had like My Buddy. It had all those instrumentals. So of course they got ripped off of that and put on the internet. But the game was terrible. Yes, I played it. The hype of my rappery.
I mean, did you play the Wu-Tang PlayStation game?
Oh, you know I did. And of course, and that was the game that you could put in the CD player.
Yeah, it was what? World Order and
Rumble.
Rumble.
Yeah, Rumble. There was three songs on there.
Yeah, I think the third one was awful. I can't remember.
Yeah, third one was whack. But no, Wu World Order was cool and Rumble was crazy.
Yeah, Rumble's good. I don't know about crazy. This was 99 Wu-Tang, though, so there was a lot of material out.
Mm-hmm.
But back to Beyonce. So the problem that it solves is, so first of all, this is the right type of project to drop like this. This is the best of both worlds because there's strong material here.
Yeah.
Right? But what you get when you drop it all at once is it becomes like a Netflix-style consumption.
Yes.
Right. Where yes. People can, you know, it comes out and you can sort of choose how you, you know, go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the videos give it that sort of same feel as well. Like you could just watch the whole thing like as a visual album, as I think how her sister put it. But the songs that people want to hear, like they can rise to the top. Like I'm surprised that they even like got word out to Billboard what songs they want to push the radio. They shouldn't have just said a word. Just watch what radio decides to play. Watch what gets the most hits on YouTube when that ends up there. Look at the Spotify numbers. Like they're going to, right now you can only buy the album as a whole, but eventually radio and streaming will pick the initial winners. There are some songs on here that are obvious singles that they can put out as a single whenever they want. But if there's another song that rises to the top, they have the advantage. They could just go right with it. The video's ready. Everything's ready.
Mm-hmm.
So when you release it all at once, you sort of solve the problem of, like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example. Like let's say they decided the first single should be Pretty Hurts. Not that that's a bad song. We'll talk about this in a second. But there are other songs on here that people would be like, no, you should choose this one. Right? And when you record a project, and Armand, you can speak on this, sometimes you get so lost in the project that you don't have the perspective to step back and go, wait, why didn't we go with that as the single?
Oh, was that backhanded?
Not at all. No, seriously. You can get so involved.
Yeah. I mean, because it's when you create an album, and especially when you spend a lot of time on it, it really feels like your child. You know, they say while a child is actually in the mother's womb is when they begin the bonding process. So much like that, it's the same way with an album. So by the time that child comes out, the mother has already determined that they're going to love this thing no matter what. And the same thing with the artist. The artist is like, you know what? There's nothing negative you could tell. Now, as time goes on, the child grows up. They pick up certain habits. There's certain things that they do that the mother doesn't like, doesn't agree with, whatever, whatever. The love is still there. But there's like, you know what, I love you, but I really don't like the fact that you do this. So much like with an album, it's like, I'd love this album, but we could have done this different. We could have made this the single. We could have took that record off. I could have wrote this verse differently. I could have said this a little better. So, yeah, absolutely.
So they get the advantage of, again, like I said, they get the advantage of everybody gets to hear everything. I do think that, you know, there are a couple, I think, and, you know, the songs they chose as the first two singles, I think those are fine. Right.
Yeah. Are we getting into that now? Or are we just going to,
well, we can go track by track. We can talk about what the singles are going to be if you want.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think, I'm trying to think where I want to go next with this conversation. So how do you feel about this whole concept? How do you feel about the video aspect to this? Because that's certainly never been done as far as I can tell.
No, the funny thing about it was that somebody made a great point. If you go to Beyonce's Instagram, she was actually posting pictures of her, which we just thought she was on vacation, but she's actually on the video shoots, which is dope. I love the rollout. I love the fact that there's a video for every song. I even like the fact that there's not a bonus track, but a bonus video. Mm. I think that's dope too. You know, do something different. Like this, I know, you know, Jay coined new rules, but to me, like, this accomplishes that. I'm sure we're going to talk about this later, but this accomplishes that way better than Magna Carta did.
Yeah, Magna Carta was new rules from the point of, hey, artists, we figured out a new way to subsidize the cost of the album. In fact, opposite approach from Beyonce. This is a very expensive project.
Mm.
The 15 videos already done, all
mm-hmm.
of them.
Mm-hmm.
The talent involved with writing and producing, the names on this, this was not a, hey, you know, let's throw out a quick little project to make some money before the end of the year. This was an expensive project, right? And Jay's project had a lot of big names on it too, right? Look, I know him and Timbo are best friends this year, but you can't. Timbo didn't do it for free, right? but in that case, Jay's new rules was, hey guys, I got $5 million up front from Samsung. The album has been paid for.
Yeah.
Right. You know, in this era of artists where they, you know, whether it's Kanye or Jay or whoever, where it's now this mantra of, I'm going to go hole up in some location and fly in people and do all this stuff to create this superstar packed album. That's not cheap to do. And you have to be an artist of a certain scale to pull that off. And Jay, again, Jay's new rule was that he figured out how to get it paid for. You know, don't stress it. Like for him, the album sales honestly don't matter. Samsung covered the cost of it, and he's with Live Nation, so he's going to tour. Really, the album sales are for him is almost they're secondary.
Yeah, because Jay normally sells around the same thing every time, right?
Yeah, Jay doesn't. He's not putting up Eminem numbers.
Nah,
not at all. So that was really the Jay's contribution, if you want to call this thing. It was about, you know, it was commerce, not art, right? This is a different concept. This is a, you want to talk about controlling a rollout. There's no leak here.
Yeah.
Right? It drops. And the video aspect to it makes it really interesting. Sure, you can find copies, you know, you want to go Google, it's no secret. You can go Google and find copies of this album. And that's relatively easy to download. You can also, if you really look, find copies of the videos. But that's a heck of a lot more to download. It's a heck of a lot more of an investment. Or you can just go to iTunes, pay your money, and get them right there. Right? The video aspect to it makes it even more likely that not even just fans, casual fans will go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
People were actually buying it just for what I saw, what people call it being a ballsy move. Just like, yo, you dropped, like, you did that. You're the biggest artist in the world, and you drop your album like that, and you drop all this material for $16. I have to support that.
Yeah, the price point's interesting as well. It's not $9.99, right? And it's not even like $9.99 or the deluxe edition. Like, this is it. It's $15.99. You get 14 songs, 15 videos. And oh, by the way, you got to go to iTunes, and that's no accident.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other place that you could pull this off at. Nobody right. else has the global reach that iTunes does.
Yeah.
Nobody else also, as far as I can tell, could bundle in the video, with everything. Like, iTunes can do the whole package for an artist like this. I'm sort of surprised. You know, we've heard, you know, we see often, like, you know, like Kendrick had like a Target special deluxe edition where, like, retailers, if they're not paying, then they're promising to give premium shelf space. Oh, you give me a special edition and I'll push it. You know, there's all these little things that happen. And certainly Timberlake's thing with Target, you know, there was definitely money changing hands there.
Yeah.
Right. I'm almost surprised that, and I wonder if this will be the next sort of step is, oh, you work ahead with, whether it's iTunes or Amazon or whoever. Like, if I, you know, I'd be stunned right now if Amazon hasn't at least thought, if not already actively seeking out, who is a huge artist that hasn't dropped an album in a little while, that hasn't dropped an album this year, who's coming up next, who might be interested in doing something like this exclusive to Amazon, right? Because this will be another sort of battling point between, you know, it's another way that artists only on Beyonce's stature, right? Like Lady Gaga, you know, not this most recent album, but her previous one, that was the thing where, like, Amazon was selling it for like $1, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That was one level of sort of, you know, escalation between iTunes and Amazon and all that.
Wasn't,
you know,
that sort of like trolling a little bit?
No, I mean, if anything, it does a couple of things, right? So that's, you're going to guarantee great first week numbers. You're right. Going to make it really difficult to justify piracy. Like, you really, at that point, you just got to not want to pay anything. Right? So you really drop the barrier of entry. And for Amazon, you make people realize, oh, I can get MP3s through Amazon. It was a huge amount of promotion. Like, that was a win-win on all sides. I wouldn't call it trolling.
I got you.
But, you know, Spotify, you know, they could get in the game with something like this with somebody, right?
They absolutely could. I mean, their big announcement this week was, number one, you can use the Spotify app for free with some restrictions.
Yeah, those restrictions are still, it's still pretty strict.
It's still pretty strict. It's more in the style of Pandora now, right?
Yeah, if you want to use it like Pandora, then you can get ads or whatever. I wonder,
because you can't even control your playlist and you can't listen to full albums, right? You just kind of have to listen to what they give you.
Yeah, I wonder why they haven't just do it. Like, is the model not there? Is the ad money really not there where you could have advertisements in the middle of albums and let people do it for free? Or better yet, a real partnership with an artist. Like, let's say Justin Timberlake comes out with another album next year and he does another deal, this time not with Target, but with somebody else. And what the ads you get are ads for the company that he's targeting for.
Right.
Like, you sell the whole thing.
It's true.
Giving away a lot of ideas here. What am I doing?
You really are. You really are. Like, we need to start planning for 2015.
You're like, nah, Doc just gave away everything for 2014.
You really did.
But no, I think this is just, it's going to be a natural sort of, but what's interesting is, like, this is a case where the gap between the rich and the poor, so to speak, will only grow bigger and bigger, right? For these upper echelon artists by one name, right? If I say Gaga, you know who that is. If I say Kanye, you know who that is. I can say either one. If I say Swift or Taylor, you know who that is, right? Artists who are on that level are going to be able to play in this sort of event release arena, right?
Yeah.
It'll be a who can top this sort of thing. Yeah. We're going to see some Beyonce, this was maybe not the logical evolution, but she has now, we have now sort of, this is a huge jump up, right? If all year we've been sort of, oh, well, I can do this and I can do this, Beyonce's like, all right, well, here's the new bar for event releases, right? Yeah. But on the flip side, I still think that everything that we've talked about for how we feel I don't want to say unknown artist, but a not megastar should roll out their album, it should be almost the opposite. Not an event. Slow play. Push that album for a while. Right? It's the difference between indie films and blockbuster films.
Mm-hmm.
Indie films, you don't need the big first week because you can't play in that arena. Play in the arena that works for you. Right? What, unfortunately, I'm sure we're going to see is mid-tier artists who think they are bigger than they really are, are going to think that they need to get into the event release game.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like now, it's so much focus. There's so much focus on the release. What are you gonna do? I mean, is it about to be out of style to, you know, drop your release date 2 months the way the album's released now, where it's talk about the album 6 months ahead of time, then you announce the album title, drop the cover, leak a single, drop the track listing, drop another single, leak the full track listing with production credits, put out a video, release it, screenshot your Instagram. Oh, we're number two on iTunes. Retweet everything that everybody says about your project, and then 2 weeks later, nobody's talking about it.
The problem with that is, as you know from doing Kairos, you might do all that, but you're still working on the album.
Yes.
I think it's incredibly powerful to just not say a word, finish everything. I mean everything.
Oh, and look at you rapping on my own lyrics.
And then you have so many more options, right? Otherwise, like if you sort of, as you sort of do this slow play trickle out, hey, let me Instagram my track list, because you're still working on it, the feedback that people give you, which is incomplete because it's based off this incomplete information, it's all the pitfalls of social media plus the pitfalls of marketing, right? You're trying to portray this thing in a certain light and people are going to misinterpret. But that feedback is all rolling into the album. And maybe that's good, but I think that compromises, in a sense, the idea of the album. And as an artist, now you're second guessing yourself and you're like, oh, they didn't respond how I thought they would to the tracklist. Just drop the album.
Mm.
If it's good, release it. If it's not, don't tease it. Make it better.
Mm.
Right? I don't know.
Interesting.
I got a little excited there. A
little bit.
We haven't even talked about the music yet.
Nah.
You ready to talk about the music or anything else you want to say?
Because
I sort of talked for a while, so please.
I'm trying to think. We haven't even talked about the fact that it's not anywhere else.
Well,
when are people going to be able to pick it up in stores?
The 21st.
The 21st. So when is it? No, I thought it was the 23rd. Is it the 21st?
Might be the it's going to be a little while, yeah.
It is. I'm looking right now.
Because they didn't even, in order to control leaks, they didn't even put it in production yet. It's not, they have not been, because if you remember, you know, how did Yeezus leak? Somebody got the CD early.
I got the CD early. But that's how most CDs leak, though.
If you want to control leaks, you cannot go, you have to go digital at first.
Yeah. Frank Ocean did that. Watch the Throne did that.
And for something like what Beyonce was trying to pull off, it totally makes sense that you wouldn't even get them produced. I understand it, like a dozen people knew about this.
10 people knew about it at Sony. 10.
The producers didn't even know about it until the day before, and not even all of them knew about it. The video directors didn't even know when it was coming out.
That's crazy. Crazy. That's wonderful. That's great.
Sorry.
Dang it. What were we talking about?
You were asking about iTunes. You were asking
iTunes about release dates.
When can people get them in the stores?
People can get them. Dang, I forgot.
It'll come back. So you want to talk about the music?
Yeah, let's go track by track, man. Let's do it.
So, track one, Pretty Hurts.
Yeah.
Produced by Ammo and Beyonce. This is a good intro.
Somebody made a really good point. Somebody said this is her new slaves. It's funny, but when you think about it, it's kind of true.
It's an interesting... This song kicks off an interesting theme to the album,
which of is
Beyonce being totally upfront with herself as an attractive woman, frankly, a sexual woman.
Yeah.
And positioning this as female empowerment.
Yeah.
This theme starts a little bit with Pretty Hurts, but really kicks off as you get into this.
Yeah.
This is...
Ah, dang it. I had it again and I lost it.
I got to stop talking.
It was to your point earlier about the singles.
Yeah.
Beyonce is in her camp. Beyonce and her camp are way too... especially Beyonce. If you watched her... Did you watch her biography, the one that she did on HBO?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, you know, I had to watch that.
I know.
So she's very I don't want to call her a Joe Budden, where like her openness is like open for manipulation. I don't think she does manipulation, but I think she's open. It's a controlled open. On this album, I agree, she's very transparent on this album. She's definitely embracing a new period in her life. You know, not being under, you know, the tutelage of her father, blah, blah, blah. But she's not going to do what you said, you know, just look at the numbers, look at the numbers. If we remember, 4 leaked like a month early.
Okay.
And I think that bothered her, because normally, you know, when her album leaked, it would leak a few weeks early. But it leaked very, very early, almost to the point, I believe, didn't they push the date up?
It's a good question. I can't say, I'll be honest, I don't really pay that much attention to Beyonce releases typically. Look, I know enough about enough music, but Beyonce, not typically. Let's see what we got. Development, composition, recording. Yeah, it's funny. I guess I didn't realize... Like, you look at the credits for 4, clearly, she definitely listened to Blueprint 3 and Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Well, people, you know, it was, and it's funny you say that, because Magna Carta was birthed out of, did we talk about that on the hype? Was that on the hype?
Yeah, the hyphen. It was birthed out of this.
Yeah, out of
this. Or at least the early versions of this stuff.
Because we didn't talk about this either. She scrapped the album. She put it out that she scrapped the album in May. Her team put that out. So that's another thing about her controlled openness. Her team doesn't really love that, isn't unnecessary. There's not a whole lot of rumors that go out about her, other than like the fake pregnancy and all that other stuff. But, you know, we heard that she was working on her album. You know, that kind of coincides with what you said earlier about the directors didn't know and all that stuff. So before we heard about Jay's album,
yeah,
we heard about Beyonce's album. Beyonce's working on a new album. She's working on a new album. And then, you know, she had flew. You know, she was working with Neo. She was working with Fauntleroy. She was working with Dream. She was working with Stacey Barb. She was working with all these dope songwriters. And all of a sudden in May, and I think Jay talked about that in one of his interviews, where he was like, we have like 100 Beyonce records that we just play in our house. And she got frustrated. Blah, blah, blah. That was the story. She didn't like any material and she scrapped it. And we didn't hear anything else about that. This was in May. And then 2 months later, Magna Carta comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Then, if you really want to get real scientifical, prolifical miracle, there was an article, I believe, on Billboard where either the head of Columbia or Sony or whatever said that Beyonce's album is coming out in 2014. And he was like, it's powerful, it's masterful, what we're doing has never been done before. But he clearly says the album's coming out in 2014.
Yeah, there was a lot of lies.
Yeah.
That's so good.
That was great. I mean, that's one of the only times you're not mad at being lied to, you know, Christmas presents, stuff like that. But yeah, like, I guess that I said all that to not only bring some backstory back, but just for you to know, because I don't think you were online when it dropped, but there was really like an awkward excitement when her album dropped. I was just up late, whatever. I'm just on Twitter being bored. And at 12 o'clock, one of the people that I follow on Twitter, who's kind of like a music insider, was like, hey, Beyonce just dropped a 32-track album. I was like, what? And then he tweets the link. And I thought it was like a throwaway or like some mixtape records or something. It's a full album. And then all of a sudden you just saw more people picking up on it. You know, within 20 or 30 minutes, everybody had it. And it was just like a live tweet session. I mean, my entire timeline, I follow a little over 300 people. I would say all the ones that aren't media outlets, and even some of the media outlets, were using their live accounts to live tweet and talk about this album.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the excitement, you don't get that too much nowadays. And that's something that she intentionally did. She put that out in her press release. And I appreciated it. So I think that even that made the album even better, just for the fact that, you know, the event is important. We talked about this. The event is important, but the music has to match or exceed the event. Otherwise, it's just going to be an event. And ironically, her husband is great at creating incredible events with pretty good albums. So I guess on that note, we can get back into
Pretty Hurts.
Pretty Hurts, yeah.
What's interesting, this is one of the most conventional songs on the album.
Yeah, it is, extremely.
It doesn't at all really set the stage for the rest of the album.
Not at all.
Almost sort of, you know, suckers you in a way. Right? Like you're, yeah, because frankly, the song structure on some of these songs, which we're going to get into, and just like how it sounds, is not conventional for Beyonce at all. But Pretty Hurts, you know, it's a good song.
It's cool.
It's not one of the best ones.
Nah. This is definitely like, I don't want to call it on site.
Well, on site's dope.
I'll call it on site because it just, it makes a definitive statement, and then it doesn't sound like anything else on the album. So it's a kick in the door intro. Like a, whoa, wait a minute, what is this? It's kind of weird, because especially when you listen to the rest of the album and then you go back and you start, it's like, whoa, this is weird. What is this?
Yeah, to me, the real like, okay, I need to pay attention is when it starts with Haunted.
Yeah.
Right. So Haunted, this is produced by Boots and Beyonce. And also Boots is some guy who is signed to Roc Nation.
Okay.
Came out of nowhere. He signed earlier this year. Apparently on his SoundCloud, it's been taken down, but he had links to demo records of some of these songs.
Oh, wow.
But he's...
Man, what's this dude's SoundCloud? I don't know.
He's all... I don't think there's anything up there now. He's all over this album.
Yeah.
He helps write. He helps produce. So yeah, let me get all the credits out for this. So this is produced by Boots and Beyonce, additional drums by Hit-Boy, and background vocals by Boots. Hit-Boy's on a couple tracks on here, Details on a couple tracks. And like the young producers that she decides to work with, I thought was really interesting. Mm-hmm. But Haunted.
Hey, is this Boots with an S or a Z?
It's S, not a Z.
I would go ahead, but Haunted.
This is out of nowhere.
A lot of songs on this album are out of nowhere.
The rapping on this is a little Andre 3000-ish, right?
Yeah, a little Andre Kendrick going on.
This song almost reminds me at parts of like a Lana Del Rey song in terms of the atmosphere. But this beat is crazy.
Yeah, the beat is dope.
The transitions as the song goes along, and there's a lot of two-part, three-part songs on this album.
Yes.
Tons of transitions.
Yes.
What used to be a niche thing, right? What used to be either is a thing for a particular artist, like, you know, Timberlake and Timbaland, they really do the two-part song thing, right?
I was going to say, yeah, they definitely, I think she got that from them.
Well, in The Dream, he's a real big fan of songs that evolve, and you've got like multiple chorus, like hooks, and there's just like bridges and second bridges, and like his songs have like so many parts by the end of it. And there's a lot of that here all over this album. It's no surprise because The Dream helps write on a couple tracks. Timbo and Timberlake are helping to write on a couple tracks as well. But I was really shocked by Haunted. I've been on record. I'm not a real big Beyonce like fan for albums. I think the song is great.
Yeah.
And there are some songs in here. I can't believe what I'm going to say on this podcast. Like, I'm stunned by this album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the beat on Haunted. Goodness.
Beat is dope. I mean, these are, not only is this beat dope, but I mean, like, one thing that's consistent about a lot of this material is that they're really, they're dope songs. Like, they really invites you into this new world that Beyonce is in. So I might not necessarily be able to relate, but I can definitely appreciate the perspective that she offers. And that's a pretty consistent theme with this album.
I think we'll remember 2013 as the year of event music. And it's also the year that trap music undeniably.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a major urban music release that we have talked from an upper echelon artist that did really well that didn't contain trap drums somewhere.
Dang it. I was going to say Wale, but he had clappers.
Even Rap God, if you want to count that.
Oh my God. That's like a whack beat. It's just,
it's not a great beat.
It just sounds like it doesn't even sound like SoundCloud. It sounds like MP3.com.
You're thinking SoundClick.
No, I'm not even thinking of, no, before SoundClick. I'm thinking of MP3.com/cannabis. Shout out to Lo-Fi and Hi-Fi Plays for 56K and DSL users.
Anyway, Haunted is dope.
Haunted is a dope record.
So after Haunted, we get Drunken Love.
Yep.
Featuring Jay-Z. This is the first single for Urban Radio.
And they are already killing this song.
Well, I'm not surprised. So this is produced by Detail and Beyonce. Additional production by Timbo, J-Rock. Additional background vocals by Boots. All instruments played by Boots. There's a lot of people on here. And of course, Jay-Z.
Yep.
How do you feel about Drunken Love?
I like this song. This is one of the records I watched some of the videos, couldn't watch all of them, but I watched some of the videos, and like, I think this is one of the records that it's dope by itself, but the video really helps it. Cause it really shows like they look drunk. They really look like that. They like just drank a bunch of liquor and they shot this video. I mean, just because, they just sound loose, or they look loose. They look comfortable. There are no walls up. There's no, I'm Jay-Z and Beyonce. And, you know, and again, I believe that that's intentional because of their controlled openness. You know, there was kind of a point of, all right, let's show them that when people drink, they let their inhibitions go. This is what it looks like. So it was just, you know, the video helped this song out, but the song is dope. The song is dope. This is going to kill first quarter.
How are you going to be Jay-Z and the Beyonce song you get on your album is so weak?
Are you bugging?
And so soft.
You're bugging.
And then Beyonce's record with you on her own album is way harder.
You're bugging. On the Run is dope. And that's getting played on the radio too.
Drunken Love is 100 times better than On the Run. On the Run is not a good song.
Yeah, you're bugging.
This is a great song. This beat is bananas. Let me tell you, there's a couple people who their prices just went up.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Boots,
oh,
went from a nobody to very expensive. Detail just got even more expensive.
No, Detail had a great year. No Worries this year? Was that last year?
That was last year. But his work with Drake, but this is different. This is a different level of work.
This is pop. So he goes from Wayne to Drake to Beyonce in a 12 to 15 month span. Oh, he's out of here.
And Hit-Boy just got expensive too. Like Hit-Boy, no. Hit-Boy and Detail, they can now charge pop prices.
Mm.
They are, if they're smart, they're about to go do a run through everybody who wants the Beyonce hitmakers.
Yeah,
they are going to make a lot of money.
They got to go to like Jesse McCartney and Ariana Grande.
Are you kidding me? No. Instead, they're going to be like, Rihanna, how big is your budget? Because Rihanna, this is like checkmate, Rihanna.
Oh. I mean, we can talk about, you know, this song was about Rihanna. That song was about Rihanna. It's obvious that, and it's been obvious for a while, that Beyonce has felt threatened by Rihanna. So this was definitely a what's up now. And even Rihanna, I mean, I don't know, because I'm not that familiar with Rihanna's discography. But, you know, people say that her definitive album is what, Rated R?
There's a ton of singles off of it.
Yeah, a ton of singles. But does she have like an album, you know?
She's not an album artist. She is truly an artist of the 2000s. She is a single artist.
Okay.
But you could say, anyway. We could have said the same about Beyonce until now.
Yeah. And we said that about Beyonce until now. That was the only thing missing from her catalog was a dope definitive album. And this, I mean, we'll get into it.
This album, this song is going to be huge.
Yeah, it's already out of here.
What's interesting is it's actually kind of funny. Because she's not allowing individual sales of you have to buy it as an album. I think that's the only thing that's stopping her from just totally infiltrating the Billboard Hot 100 this week.
Interesting.
But that will happen, right? You're going to get songs on YouTube. You're going to, you know, eventually, and I wonder when this will happen, or maybe she does Vivo, or maybe she cuts whatever, but eventually the videos will all go on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. The songs are going to be on Spotify. Radio's already playing the heck out of this stuff. There's going to be a lot of Billboard singles from here.
Yeah.
Drunken Love is great. This is automatic. I mean, this right now, this song is already in the, like, if you're talking the best Jay-Z and Beyonce collaborations, it's Crazy in Love and this, right?
Nope.
What do you got?
You're forgetting Hollywood and you're forgetting Bonnie and Clyde.
Funny man.
Come on, they had the matching. She had the Manolo Timbs and he had the regular Timbs and she had the denim skort set with the sleeve that was sleeveless and he had the denim Rockaway jean suit with the Yankee fitteds.
Now that you've broken down the fashion aspect, which we always appreciate on Cockroach Speaks. No, you know what's interesting about Drunken Love is like the chorus is so like you need Beyonce's voice to pull that off. Like Rihanna can't take this song. Like let's say Beyonce didn't write anything, even though she's definitely getting writing credits all over this. Like let's say like Detail and other people brought this to Rihanna. Rihanna can't pull this song off. She doesn't have the vocals to pull it off. Like Beyonce is like opening up the pipes. She's like roaring on this song.
Yeah, but I mean, she, you know, I always remember that. What was the name of that? Wasn't it? Was it Nick and Jessica? Did you ever used to watch that? Probably not, right? Because you're gangsta thug doc.
No one has ever described me in that way.
But I remember there was one episode of the reality show where she brought this single to her label and her producers, her team really liked it, but her label would not put it out because they said she sang it too well and that people would not be able to ride around in their cars and listen to this song. And it's funny because a lot of Beyonce songs, she can sing. She can sing very well. But something like this, when she hits that note on the hook, like that's going to be fun to sing along to.
Yeah.
So it works.
I can't believe how positive I'm being about a Beyonce album. This is a landmark moment in Clark Radio Speakers. Let's talk about Blow.
Yeah.
This is going to be the song they're pushing the top 40 radio.
Word?
Yeah.
Wow.
Surprising.
Very surprising.
For starters, I mean, I guess radio will play it, but I mean, probably, the content.
Yeah. I'd probably, okay. So what happened was I was skipping through this album the first time because I know Pharrell was going to be on it.
Oh, yeah.
If you follow Pharrell, you know, yeah, this is the Pharrell record. So I'm hyped, like, yo, this record is dope. So I'm letting it play, whatever, whatever. The next day, I probably let the song play 3 or 4 times. And then I sit down, like, wait a minute, hold on. It took me like 5 or 6 listens to be like, yo, that's what she's singing about?
You know what? Watching the video makes it so much more clear. Yeah. Have you seen the video?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay.
But this is, never mind.
This is an expensive song.
Yeah. Give me the credits for this.
Produced by Pharrell and Beyonce. Okay. Co-produced by Timbo and J-Rock. With Fauntleroy and Timberlake helping out on writing. Oh, and background vocals by Pharrell and Timbo. Oh, and directed by Hype Williams, the video.
Of course.
So, you know, if you've heard this, then you know that this song is really, it's Blow and then Cherry, right? and then back to Blow. And the Cherry interlude is produced by Timbo and J-Rock. How do you feel about this?
I like this song a lot.
Funky.
Yeah, I like this song a whole lot. A whole lot. Like, this is one of my favorites from the album.
I really like the song, but I don't even know if this is one of my three favorites from the album, which is incredible to say. This is it's a great Pharrell beat. It really grows on you. The Timbo part in the middle really works for me, which I didn't expect. I will nitpick and I'll say that the transition of the Timbo part back to the regular Pharrell part is a little sudden. They could have either done that a little better or just had the Timbo part fade out or whatever, but this is a dope record.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It'd be interesting to see. This is the record I was talking about when I said, like, I don't think they need to push Drunken Love and Blow to two different markets right now. Like, I think, like, Drunken Love, like, I think Urban Radio is going to love that so much. That might cross over on itself.
It's possible.
Like, especially the time of year we're about to go into.
Well, it's obvious. Right. But it's obvious that she's looking at Get Lucky. She's looking at
Blurred Lines. Get that. Believe me.
Yeah.
You get this sort of Pharrell bass line and you're like, yeah, bring that. But there's other records on here that are so obvious top 40.
Yeah, that's true.
There's really two on here that are just they're made for top 40 Billboard.
I would like to hear. Are they towards the end?
They're in the middle.
Okay.
To me anyway. But Blow is dope. So track 5, No Angel. Produced by somebody named Caroline Polachek.
Mm-hmm.
And Beyonce, additional production by Boots. When I heard this, Boots, I could have sworn to you that Tarius Nash did this.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
The falsetto at the beginning, the hook, the drums, the chords. Like, you know, if Dream ain't on the credits, they must have got a fill in, right? But Dream's on this album. Like, he helps write the next song after this. I'm really confused by this, but I like it. I mean, this is basically an Electric Red song just done by Beyonce.
Yeah.
How do you feel about No Angel?
It's all right. I'll say that this album sounds better together.
Absolutely.
This does not sound like a collection of singles, because I don't say I want to hear Blow is probably the only record. Drunken Love, and maybe one or two others. But the majority of this album sounds better when you just let it play.
Yeah.
And No Angel sounds one of those records to me that sounds better when I let it play in order. But I'm not like, yo, I want to hear No Angel.
I really like just like the synth progression towards the end. Again, like the way that these songs sort of evolve is really great. Did you see the video for No Angel?
No, I didn't.
She's in Houston and she's got everybody from Houston in there. Bun B, Kurko Bangs, Willie D, Scarface, Slim
that's
Thug,
the
Paul
video?
Wall,
that's,
Zero.
That's the,
yeah.
That's the video she uses?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I should say your boy Fauntleroy, he helps write this.
Okay.
But I like No Angel. Because it sounds like a Dream song to me. But I like it. So next up, we've got, I guess we call it Partition, but it's really two songs. Partition doesn't even start until like halfway through.
Yeah.
I've seen some people, because the videos are credited this way, I guess the first half you can call Yancey.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is, let me get the credits right, because you know we're all about the credits on Collaborative Speakers. This is produced by Timbo and J-Rock, Timberlake, Beyonce, and Key Wayne, additional production by Mike Dean and Boots.
Boots.
Again, Boots everywhere. That's a lot of people for one song. It makes more sense because there's two parts to it. This is a really interesting song.
Yeah.
The first half sounds like old Timbo.
Yep.
And I gotta say, I didn't even really talk about Jay's verse on Drunken Love. I think I might like Beyonce rhyming on partition more than I like anything Jay says in his verse. Is that sad?
Are we gonna be the guy who's like, well, I don't like what Jay did on the R&B? Like, the only time I don't like Jay-Z rapping on R&B records is when he's not rapping about the song. Like, his verse on Crazy in Love, I don't like because he's not at all rapping about anything that has anything to do with anything.
He actually never sounds natural rapping on a Beyonce song. Ever. Anyway, I love the first half of Partition. And then the second half, that's total, you can tell that's the Dream's writing. That hook, the hook for Partition has got to be the Dream.
Yeah.
But I like this. Another dope song.
Yeah.
You sound like you're not as enthused.
It's not my favorite, but again, it's better in context. It's better in sequence.
Again, the video is very.
Yeah,
you gotta see these videos here.
Yeah. Be careful when you watch these videos. Be very careful watching these videos. But yeah.
So Jealous.
Yeah.
Track 7.
I was hoping this was gonna have Joel Santana on it.
This is produced by Detail and Beyonce. Additional production by Boots and Hit-Boy. This hook is incredible.
You like this hook?
This is one of the best hooks I've heard all year. I can't stop listening to this song.
People really don't like this hook.
They're crazy.
It's interesting.
This song is top 40 all day. The melodies, the way the hook, like this song, I can't believe I'm saying it. This song is great.
Why is it so hard for you to like just not grasp the concept of Beyonce making like dope songs?
It's because this album gets to a point where you're like, wait, are there bad songs here? Which I'm not expecting. I mean, again, I'm not expecting it out of Beyonce. It's like, you know, if you want to make a sports analogy, it's like when a sports team like I'm trying to think of a recent example. Like when they make the leap, but people aren't ready. They're waiting for the other shoe to drop. They're waiting for the team to screw up or whatever. But it turns out, no, they're that great this year. That's what this Beyonce's album's like for me. Like, it's like, wait, really? Really?
Are you talking about when they go on a run? So you're talking about...
No, like, I'm talking about like, I mean, a good example, right? I mean, it's early, but like the Trailblazers this year.
Okay.
Gotcha. Like you get people who are like, nah, they're just having a good... And then you're like, no, they're really good.
Okay. Gotcha.
But nah, I think Jealous is great. Again, Detail is going to be very, very expensive to hire in the future. I like this beat. I like everything about the song. This is a song I keep coming back to. You like it? Good? No?
Again, another song that I just... Like, it's cool, but it's better in the context of the album.
Interesting.
Yeah, like the whole middle part of the album, like... I like the beginning of the album and I like the end of the album. The middle is something that I would much rather listen to if I'm letting the whole album play.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You're not going to like my opinion as we go further on. let's talk about Rocket.
Yeah.
So
be careful watching this video.
So this is produced by Timbo and Beyonce, co-produced by J-Rock. This is a Timbo song?
Right.
They just really just said, nah, D'Angelo, we can make music just like you.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by this song.
Are you really?
It's a little too long, but this is dope.
Yeah, this is a dope record. Again, very... She's having a lot of sex with her husband. Like, that is the theme of the first half of this album. She is having a lot of sex with her husband. A lot. And I'm mad at it. Rock out. You know, she's promoting being a whore for your husband, which I would support.
No, she's promoting being a. She's a proud woman.
She's a proud. No, she's a proud. Like, if I say being a whore for your husband, I'm not saying that in a bad context. I'm saying that when you are making yourself and all of yourself openly available to your spouse, which I think is great. So I'm not at all discounting the material. And even in the way that it's written, it's kind of coy, where it's like, you know what she's talking about, but you don't. So you're kind of like, whoa, but then you understand the context and it's like, okay, I get that. So I'm not mad at that. That's not a diss at all.
No, like, but I mean, the way that you put that, like, to me, it's actually the opposite. It's more that it's not that she's doing this for her husband. Like, this is her. Like, her husband is obviously a part of it, but it's not that she is, oh, I'm being Beyonce for my husband. No, she's Beyonce.
So you think this is just a part of her that was always there and it's just coming out now?
I think that it doesn't have to be for the man. I think this is her. Like, I think the phrase being a whore for her husband, I think it implies that it's at his service.
Nah, I didn't mean it like that.
Okay.
I didn't mean it like that.
I was going to say, we're about to take this in a whole other direction.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean, it could be for his service, but it's not just for him. Like, she enjoys it too. So I'm not saying that at all. I don't think, again, well, we had a conversation a while ago. Where we talked about service. Like, we have two different definitions of service. Like, it's not a bad thing to me. I celebrate it. Anyway, go ahead.
And I should point out, your man Miguel helped write Rocket.
Oh, okay.
And so
okay.
did Timberlake.
It sounds like a Timberlake record more than a D'Angelo record to me.
That guitar is straight. The guitar and the tempo, as soon as it opens up.
Now, what is that record? What is that record on Timberlake's album, on the first one? It's kind of slow, like Something About a Girl.
There's nothing on Timberlake's album that sounds like this.
Nah, it's the one record. It's the record that sounds like a... Hold on. I know exactly what I'm talking about. It's in that vein. Hold on. I'm not looking up Wiki. I'm going to Spotify. So,
are you really going to play a song right now?
No, I'm not going to play it. Okay. I just need to get the song, the title. That Girl.
This sounds like nothing like That Girl.
Nah, it's the cousin. They're cousins.
I mean, I guess.
So that's why when you say Timberlake wrote it, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. I get it.
He helped write it, yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
So... Track 9, your boy Aubrey. This is called Mine. We got the whole OVO clique helping out on this.
Okay, yeah.
We got 40 producing.
Did Sampha do the intro?
Additional production by Majid Jordan and Omen.
Oh wow.
Okay. I'm looking here. Intro. The intro keys were Key Wayne.
Oh wow! I thought that was Sampha. Okay. Majid Jordan had to do the beat switch on the bridge.
He might have.
This is a song for the good girls. Like that sounds like them.
How do you feel about this song?
I love this song. Of course. Come on.
This song is okay. This is the first slowdown of the album.
This song is great. This is not a song that you want to listen to after 2 o'clock in the morning if you're single. I think it's funny that Drake is writing the me. I mean, because to me, again, I feel like this album is a lot of the material that she's talking about in the relationship. Of course, you're going to look at it like she's talking about Jay. So it's funny that the relationship we're having our problems, me and Jay are having problems, is written by Drake. And then he's rapping from the perspective of Jay. I thought that was funny.
Drake's vocals being distorted does not work at all. I like parts of this record. I think the intro is the best part. It's cool. Like, if I let this write, like if I'm letting the album write out, I'll listen. But it's okay.
This song's great.
No. Rocket's better. Jealous is better. Like, Partition's better. Like, all these records are better than this.
I let you rock when you gave all the... This song is great. Rocket's great. Partition's great. I was like, yeah. I say Mine is great. You're like, no, it's not.
Because I'm being honest.
It's decent.
It is.
It's decent. No, this song is dope. This song is crazy. This is one of my favorites on the album. This is another standout. It's not a single.
Wow.
But this is when I say stand. Yeah, because when I say stand out, this is a record that I can go to.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? As opposed to the rest of the album that I'm just going to let it play.
Interesting. So let's talk about XO. This has been chosen already as a top 40 single for next year.
I can see that.
Produced by The Dream. Ryan Tedder, who
shout
is the
Ryan Tedder,
who's the guy from One Republic.
Yep.
And Beyonce friends. With additional production by Hit-Boy.
Okay.
A very expensive song.
Yeah, because Ryan Tedder's pretty expensive, right?
And so is Darius Nash. This is a stadium record. This is a I could play this at the World Cup record. It's also like in the sequence of the album after Rocket and Mine, it's a great way to pick the tempo back up.
Yeah, this is a turning point in the album, right?
It's a little bit of a turning point, yeah.
Yeah, doesn't the album kind of go, well, aside from the next song, like, you know, it kind of goes in a different direction.
A little bit, yeah. This is a pretty good song, and it's going to be a huge single. Gigantic single. It's a good song. I like it. It's surprising to me. Didn't expect The Dream to do this.
I'm positive that Terrius has just a bunch of just like amazing records in the stash. I'm sure he does.
He probably has them labeled in folders by price tag.
So Beyonce gets the, you know, I think he just wants another Beyonce hit. I don't blame him. Cause 1+1 was supposed to be that record, but it didn't that record didn't blow like people thought it would have.
And it's funny, like I'm willing to bet that I'm wrong because I think people like it, but it's funny that they've chosen Blow as the top 40 hit from here, whereas I think Drunken Love will outperform it.
Mm-hmm.
I almost wonder if Blow might disappoint on the charts, if you want to put it that way.
Mm.
I think it's a really good song, but
I think that works better in urban than pop.
I was actually going to say the same thing. Whereas Drunken Love, right, the way that chorus goes, the fact that it's Jay-Z and Beyonce, two of the most popular people on the planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, send that right to radio right now. Right, like, you any pop radio station, you send them a record, we've got a new Beyonce and Jay-Z record called Drunken Love. They're going to play it. They might not even ask questions. They might just hit play. Right? But back to XO. You like this one?
Yeah, this one's cool. This one's good. This is another in the context of the album. I'm listening to it. But when I say that, I don't want people to take from it that, like, I'm dissing it. Like, this album just sounds, it just sounds better as an album. And if you have listened to Clock Radio Speakers long enough, you know that I love albums. So that's not a diss. It's just a few standout records, and there's a bunch of really, really dope records that sound better sequentially.
So track 11 is Flawless, previously known as Bow Down.
Well, it's switched up.
Yeah, this is basically Bow Down into Flawless.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Produced by Hit-Boy and Beyonce with your boy Terrius helping out on the writing. How do you feel about this record?
It's all right. It's, to me, it's an obvious hit. This is another one of those female empowerment records. You know, where she's kind of hit and miss, where Single Ladies was a hit, but Who Run the World wasn't, Grown Woman wasn't. One of those records on D-Day was. Freakum Dress, I don't know. But this is definitely one of those female empowerment, I woke up like this and like that, that's already catching on. So it's a hit record. This is probably my least favorite song on the album.
And I like this song a lot. If they would have never leaked Bow Down, I feel like this is a better use of it. Where it sits in the album, the transition to Flawless. And by the way, Terrius absolutely wrote the hook on Flawless on the second half. That's the most Terrius thing on this entire album. But this song is dope. I didn't like Bow Down that much when it first came out, but this I like a lot. You know, I mean, you could like the whole, like the way that, you know, you get the second hook at the end with Flawless, and then you've got the I Look So Good Tonight part. Like, that is classic Dream sound songwriting, where you've got the second hook that could have been its own thing. Like, he could have built an entire song around the concept of I Look So Good Tonight, right? Women are going to be singing that. But what's interesting is by Bow Down already leaking out, I don't know if you can now push this to Urban Radio, whereas otherwise this could have gone to Urban Radio.
You can cut out Bow Down.
Maybe, and just do Flawless.
You can cut that out.
Okay.
Totally. Because I think how long is this song?
Yeah, it's kind of long, right?
Hold on, let me see. It is. What's 4 minutes and 11 seconds? So I mean, they play what, a minute and a half of Bow Down, and then the Flawless has a pretty long intro, right? Because it's sampling the
it's
philosopher, the, whatever, it's talking about that stuff. So it's really not a long song, but
no. You know, I mean, but all the three parts together are, but yeah.
But yeah, you cut out Bow Down, it's still a, you know, 2 minute and whatever change song. It still works. It totally, absolutely would be a hit song.
Mm. So let's talk about track 12.
Which is?
Superpower, featuring Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
Produced by Pharrell.
Yeah.
With additional production by Boots.
Okay.
Background vocals by Kelly Rowland, Michelle Williams, and Boots.
Oh, look at that.
Look at that.
She got a girl's a check.
Yeah, I like how they can't be, they're not featuring.
That's stupid.
This is a total left turn.
Oh, yeah.
Pharrell never ceases to surprise.
But this is a left turn in a great way.
Oh, yeah. This song is kind of weird, but dope.
This song is super dope. I didn't even realize, like, the first half, this song takes a while to get going. But then it, like, when it turns instantly, and it's like, whoa.
Mm.
So I love the way that her and Frank's voices blend together. Like, this record is ill. This record is super ill.
I could totally see this being, like, the fifth or sixth single from the album.
Mm.
Like, one of those, you know, they just sort of, after they get, because I think there's going to be three or four smash singles from this album.
Yeah.
One of those classic, like, let's keep the album going.
Yeah. I can see that too. I think this could be something like, I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of their, Barack and Michelle have like some sort of like party or gala or something like that to kind of transition out. And like, this is the song that they dance to or something, and Beyonce's there to sing it or something. Like, it just feels like a record that it's going to be the theme song to something.
I mean, meanwhile, you know, they really want to listen to Drunken Love, but you know, they're playing Superpower.
Ah, they'll play it at the party. She kicks her heels off, he loosens his tie, they go in the room, they do whatever.
That sounded like an opening to a Jay-Z lyric, by the way.
Shut up.
Let's talk about Heaven.
Yeah.
Produced by Boots and Beyonce. It's a ballad.
Yeah, she always has to have a ballad.
So I would say that with the exception of that little EXO Flawless piece, the second half of this album is definitely slower,
mm-hmm.
which I'm not really as much of a fan of as I think you are.
Yeah.
This record's good.
This record's dope. I think it sets up Blue well. I think it's a setup for Blue.
Mm.
That's how I look at it. That's how I look at it. But no, the song is dope.
It's a good record.
It's a dope record.
So let's talk about Blue then.
Blue's dope.
Blue's a good song.
The song is dope.
I don't really know if I like the idea of having the album end on two songs like this back to back. But this is produced by Boots and Beyonce as well. You could tell I'm pretty sure that these two songs, like whatever form of the track list that she's had, they were always back to back. Right. Yeah. You know how like when you're making it out, you're like, okay, this is a two song suite and this is a whatever. Like these two were always back to back.
Makes no sense in Boomerang. Yeah.
See.
always like that.
I think the video for Blue helps it out tremendously.
Yeah.
You think this is a really good song or a good song? Or
it's a really good song.
To me, after, like, my problem is, I like Superpower is so dope. Like, the last two songs are a little bit of a letdown for me. It's too different. I don't like ending the album that slow.
I think that it works because the first half of the album is so boom, 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 boom. I'm not mad at the turndown.
I guess. I guess I can kind of see that. But it's a good record. You know, I will say, like, you know, sometimes after Superpower, I'm going back to the beginning. I'm not going to lie. But they're good songs. Again, it's one of those things like how you feel about some of those middle tracks. Like, I'll let them play out.
Gotcha.
So I think there's one song on here that I'm okay on, which is the Drake song. And the rest of them are at least good to great for me.
Mm.
And for you, sounds like there's a couple songs that you're like, nah, they're okay. But everything else you really like.
Yep.
Am I crazy or did Beyonce just kick the door down into contention for our top tens?
Oh, I mean, to be honest with you,
yeah,
her getting into my top 10 is not going to be that difficult.
Oh, come on.
It's not going to be that difficult. This is a great year. Again, it's a great year for moments, not so much for music. I think this is the year of the underdog. We had all these artists drop all these projects, and I keep going back to indie artists, unsigned artists, you know, artists with smaller fan bases. But, you know, if we're basing it just off of, you know, popping, you know, more well-known names. Oh, she's definitely in the conversation without question.
I think it's because I started to put the list together of records I needed to listen to again before we do our end of the year.
Yeah.
Albums. I think some of these records from earlier in the year, I think we're going to forget how good some of them were.
Yep.
We could talk about that a little offline, but yeah, in terms of these event albums, like I really liked Yeezus, but this is a combination of, the thing about Yeezus is that it was very divisive, right? I don't know anybody who thinks Yeezus is okay.
Yeah.
Right? People either love it or they think it's noise and they just want to turn it off.
Yeah.
This is a album that seems to be universally liked. I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about this album.
I've heard one person say something bad about it. But their argument was that Beyonce is not speaking for the generation. I mean, they didn't really have to do anything with the music. It was like she should be using her powers for something different, her influence for something different. And that I understand, but I can't hold the music to that. If you have the opportunity to do something, to speak for something, even if you're standing next to Michelle and Barack and all this other stuff, but you use your music to talk about something else, I can't fault you for that if the music is good or bad. So I'm not. That's the only argument I've heard.
I don't know this person, so I don't want to say anything too bad about them. But sounds like that person does not enjoy very much music. That's an interesting standard to hold music to.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I mean, I understand sort of the argument, but if that's the case, boy, you're not listening to much this year,
right?
Or ever. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but no, I'm pleasantly, incredibly shocked by this album.
Yeah.
I've only been listening to it for what, 3 days now, but very surprised.
Yep.
Wow, we went in. That was. I thought we were going to go longer, Beyonce. Is there anything else you want to say about this album here? Any sort of closing thoughts or sort of big themes? Or
you know, I just really like the way that she rolled this out. This album, I think we're just about to see a trend. There's a few trends that she kicked off. One, a trend where every song is a hit or has the potential to reach some sort of market. Mm. You know, as opposed to, yeah, this is the album cut. Like, no. All these records can stand out on their own, but they're cohesive and fit the common theme of this album. So I appreciate the fact that she, because with Four, we talked about this on the R&B episode, which I really like. Go back and listen down, clockradiospeakers.com. On the Four album, it was almost like too early for it. because other people, more notably Miguel, Frank Ocean, ended up taking the formula that she did for Four and put out better projects with Kaleidoscope Dream and Channel Orange. So it's almost like now that the, and I called that a long time ago, that Beyonce was going to bring back R&B, contemporary R&B with her next project. And I think she did it, but it's not traditional R&B. It's a different type of R&B.
This is cutting edge R&B.
Yeah, this definitely transcends. It's R&B at its core, but it has elements of pop and it has elements of hip hop and it has like a youthfulness to it. And not a reckless youthfulness, because there was another argument that I heard last night that it's not like an album like The Internet's Feel Good. That's a reckless youthfulness. This is more of a, as you said, cutting edge and more of a calculated youthfulness where it doesn't sound dated, but it has a lot of life. And is vibrancy a word? It's very vibrant.
You know what this actually, this just came to mind. What this sort of reminds me of is 20 years ago when we first really got that first mix of hip hop drums with R&B melodies. This really, like a lot of these songs, if you strip away the melodies, these are hard drums, right? Mm-hmm. These are, we got Hit Boy doing hard, like trap style drums with very modern cutting edge pop and R&B elements. Mm-hmm. It really is that formula updated for 2013.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, for a while it looked like Rihanna and Usher were going to just go straight off and take R&B right to dance. Right, but yep. that's toned down a little bit.
That's toned down a lot.
Right, and it turns out that the old formula, just totally updated, still works.
Yeah, absolutely. It really, I mean, the industry, as is life, is cyclical. So things that weren't dope 10 years ago are extremely dope now.
Yeah, you know, it turns out that, you know, maybe it's that the whole like things go in cycles. Maybe it's not that things need to sound like 93 again. Maybe it's just what the concept of what 93 R&B was meant, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking these break beats, but no, we're going to play these nice chords or we're going to sing over, you know. It's like, no, I'm going to take these Hit-Boy drums and we're going to do this over it.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, she did that. Again, the rollout was really, really dope. And this is an example of the fact that people are going to remember the event, the fact that she dropped an album out of thin air, and then the fact that there's a lot of hit records on this album. There's a lot of money in this record. It's going to carry her well into 2015. She's fine. So does this put her in that on it's Beyonce and then everybody else? Possibly.
On the R&B side, she's now, I mean, I think she was always, like her fame was always of that stature, but musically she is now clearly no longer simply, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but she is no longer going to be looked at simply as an R&B artist.
No, and I don't think she ever was, aside from maybe after her second album. I think probably what, Single Ladies?
Single Ladies probably brought her to that other level.
Yeah.
But excuse me, but this album is going to take her to other places.
Yeah. She's going to be like digging like water wells in Africa and stuff with this album.
What's interesting is she's ending a tour. So
is she ending the tour? Did she add more dates to it?
She could add more dates, but you know, she could really just sort of like let this go. Take some time off. The obvious thing to do is actually go tour, do the international tour now.
Right.
Right. She did the Miss Carter tour stateside. Take that, you know, international. This is the first, she started the clock on the 2015 Grammys.
Mm.
This is the first warning shot. No, it is. This is a statement record.
No, I'm laughing at the warning shot because it just sounded like a DJ K Slay line. It's the warning shot.
I, yeah, you know, if I echoed my voice on that, that'd be the way to go.
Like old K-Slay, though, with the bombs in between the songs.
An awful sound quality.
Yes.
Just the worst. So I'm guessing you'll be playing maybe some of these Beyonce records on the show on Sunday night.
Yeah, I'll be playing them on Sunday. I gotta put together a Beyonce playlist.
Some old ones, some stuff people haven't heard before. So you know, if you're listening to Clock Radio speakers, but for some of you, this is probably not gonna be on your, hey, I really need to go listen to this. I'm telling you, you need to listen to this album.
I think I don't think there's anybody who was like, I'm not gonna listen to this album. I think the fact that it was an event just kind of made everybody interested and be like, so like, what is it? I have to listen to this. Mm. So I don't know if there's anybody who's like, but you know, like Doc said, if you still have your arms folded or if you're surprised that we like this album, like, go listen to it for yourself, man. Go run some errands and let this album ride out.
Cause I have my arms folded when you were talking about the event. I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, it's Beyonce. Mm-hmm.
She pulled it off, man.
Props to Beyonce. Like, no, I got nothing bad to say about this. Right? Not every record's not perfect, but I have nothing bad to say about this at all.
Yeah, she pulled it off, man. Shout out to Beyonce.
All right, so I think that's where we're going to end this week for Clock Radio Speakers. So this, again, was a two-episode week. If you didn't hear it already, go check clockradiospeakers.com or soundcloud.com/clockradiospeakers. Check out the episode with DJ Hyphen. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers and let us know what you think about this Beyonce album. Do you agree with the songs we like? Are there songs that you think should be singles? Songs that you think she totally just struck out on and you don't understand why either myself or Armand liked it? Let us know. As always, follow the official Twitter handle of the show at CRS Podcast. And you got anything else you want to say, man?
Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Crazy Kwanzaa. We will not be around for Christmas next week. So the next time you see or hear from us, we will be getting ready for the new year. So enjoy your families, enjoy your time and all that good stuff.
And we'll be wrapping up 2013 as we do for Clock Radio Speakers.
But I think we're going to do something a little special this year. So.
All right, that's a nice little teaser. So we'll end it right on that and see y'all in 2 weeks.